This morning, we're going to turn over to Matthew chapter 24. This is one of the famous passages where Jesus speaks about his own return. We're not going to spend a lot of time today talking about the different viewpoints that are out there. We know a lot of them, and some of them I have taught here as well, but it's not about that today. We're going to look at some of the practical things that Jesus had to say about how we are to live our life today in view of his coming. I'm going to read just various verses as we go along today, so you might want to just keep your Bibles close at hand here. In verse 4, Jesus answered them, "See that no one leads you astray, for many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Christ,' and they will be led and will lead many astray." And then down in verse 11 also, "And many, many false prophets will arise and lead many astray." Apparently, this was something that was very much in Jesus' mind. He didn't just say it once, but he repeated it. And he's talking about here about the fact that as Christians, we must not be deceived in the times that we're living. People make all kinds of grandiose claims and promises that deceive a lot of people. Sometimes we have situations where even people that at one time were gospel preachers have turned over and began to teach the idea of universalism, that somehow everybody is going to be saved in the end. And of course, we know that's not true. We need to be aware of false teachers like that. But anyway, false prophets, as well as wars and rumors of wars, will characterize the whole present age that we are now living in. And we can expect that they are going to escalate as we draw closer to the actual coming of Jesus Christ. The Bible says that evil men and imposters will wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. They're not only going to deceive people, they're going to be deceived themselves. They're actually going to believe some of the things that they have now been teaching, and yet the Bible says they are plainly false. They don't point, many of them, to the nearness of the return of Jesus Christ, but they still continue to proclaim, and they're not preaching the Word of God. You and I have the Word to enlighten us. We also have the Holy Spirit to teach us when we are going astray. And so we need to constantly rely upon that. The Word of God is our source. It is our direction. The number of antichrists and imposters have been many, but no one needs to be mistaken. We know what it's going to be like when Jesus actually comes to the earth. We're not talking about views about the rapture now or anything like that, but when Christ actually comes to the earth someday, nobody is going to mistake what is happening. The Bible says that he is going to appear on the clouds of heaven, and there will be signs and wonders in the heavens above, and you cannot possibly miss that day. I don't know how people can become confused about many of these things, but they are. The coming of Jesus Christ back to the earth someday is going to be visible. It's going to be celestial, very glorious. And it's something that will catch everyone's attention. Nobody will be able to miss the fact that he is returned. And so we have to keep that in mind clearly, that we not be deceived like many people out there today are being deceived. Second thing that Jesus warns us about, another warning here. I've entitled this message, by the way, "Warnings to Watch Out For." We don't want to be deceived, but also we do not want to be discouraged. We look at verse 6 here of our scripture passage today. And in verse 6, Jesus plainly tells us this. He says, and some will hear, you will hear wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not alarmed, for this must take place, but the end is not yet. It's becoming more common to hear Christians be discouraged because they hear about all the things that are happening in the world. Every time you listen to a news broadcast, every time you listen to a TV broadcast, you hear things that are frightening, that are discouraging, that are upsetting. And there's constantly a thought about people being very discouraged, even those who are Christians. They're becoming rather discouraged about the whole thing. But remember, political and natural disturbances are going to happen. They've always been a part of world history, and they're going to be continuing right up unto the time that Jesus comes. So we should not become discouraged by that. I mean, we're saddened when we hear about a hurricane happening in our country and things like that. But natural disturbances and those kinds of happenings are going to take place. Sometimes people say, well, I think there's more earthquakes now than there used to be. Maybe so. But whatever the case, they're all operating under God's control, under God's authority, and we don't have to be discouraged by that. We can realize that even in all of these things, God is fulfilling his promises and is fulfilling the word of God that he gave us. He says that all these things are the birth pangs of the future that is coming. You have all heard situations, of course, where there's another birth in the family. Either you've had your own children, or in the time you have grandchildren that are born into your families, and you look at that as a good thing, and people are excited about it. And yet, there's something that warns us before it happens. People go into labor. They need to go to the hospital, and they need to be getting ready for the event itself of the birth of that child. Jesus said that all the things that you see in the world today, the famines, the earthquakes, the natural disasters, all of those things are just birth pangs. They're just getting us ready for the big event itself, telling us that, don't worry, God is still in control. He knows what is happening, and he's in control of it all. And so he's going to watch over everything. Don't be discouraged. We don't want to be deceived. We don't want to be discouraged. Thirdly, he tells us here in this passage, we don't want to be defeated. And sometimes that happens with people too. They become defeated in their life. And verse 13, but the one who endures to the end will be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world to a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. Some people today are not just discouraged, they are defeated. They no longer want to persevere. They no longer want to continue into following the Lord. They don't want to follow the word, what he says to do, or what they ought to do, what he told them to do. They don't follow the leading of the Holy Spirit in their heart. In fact, is many times they don't even want to hear what the word or what the Holy Spirit is saying to them directly. They feel very discouraged. And the Bible says that it's something that is going to become very difficult as the end comes, because faithfulness is going to begin to wane in the part of many people. Are they really saved or not? That's a valid question. We've always believed here that once a person is saved, they're always saved, and that God is going to see them through to the end. But there are some people who for a time may appear to be saved. They may speak a good testimony. They might attend church. They might do all the religious things, sing the religious songs or whatever. But in the end, they become defeated, and the result is they are no longer following the Lord. And the testimony here is that those who are following him to the end, those who persevere and without being defeated, those are the ones who are truly saved and are going to share eternity with Jesus Christ. This whole matter of faithfulness, too, is something that's very important because it not only affects our own lives, but it affects how we react to other people, too. A lot of people say, well, you know, I'm just riding this out to see what's going to happen. I'm pretty discouraged right now myself. I feel pretty defeated. I don't feel very confident about all this. But if the Lord comes back, well, then I'm going to be with him. And after all, I have those promises there. But you need to realize that if you are following without being defeated, you're going to be doing certain things too. We talked about the big change in the Netherlands here this morning. 50% of the people now are acknowledging some type of relationship with Jesus Christ. That's a tragic thing that has happened. People are not being strong in their faith. They're not being undefeated in all of this. We've seen that. And of course, false prophets, as we've already indicated, will arise the closer we get, the more that we're going to have that kind of deception itself going on. And we need to realize, too, that the love of many, the Bible says, will become cold. Love may appear to be very fervent, very strong, a very close and powerful love. But as time goes on, sometimes it can be appearing as though love has grown cold. And that's not a good thing at all. And in many instances, that's what's happening with so-called professing believers. Their love for Jesus Christ is a superficial one, and it has grown cold. But we need to realize that not only do we need to keep our commitment to Christ strong and not be defeated, but on top of that, we have a responsibility to tell everybody else about it too. The whole world needs to hear the gospel. And because the whole world needs the gospel, we need to get busy. We need to start telling people about this. I was teaching a Bible class the other day at Story Point, and while I was there, one of the gentlemen that attends the class there asked a question about, you know, how faithful people are to share their testimony with others. And that's a good question, because we can't just sit back and say, well, I need to follow Christ. I want to get to heaven someday. There's a whole world out there that needs to know about Jesus. Many of them have stopped attending churches or stopped listening to the Word of God. But we need to reach people. We cannot stop now. In the last days, it's going to be very hard for people to be Christians, the Bible said. People will be lovers of pleasure, lovers of all kinds of things, and not lovers of Jesus Christ. And so Christ warns us, don't be defeated. Don't fall a victim to that thing and just stop being concerned about your relationship with Christ or where other people are with Christ. Another thing Jesus says in verses 34 and 35, he tells us that we must not be doubtful. And this is something, too, that's a very important thing here. He says in verse 34, truly I say to you, this generation shall not pass away until all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Now, some people have read this passage right there, those verses, and they said, oh, until this generation passes away. And they said, well, that must have meant the generation that was alive right then when Jesus was there. And because Jesus didn't return during that time period, the whole promise about the second coming and the gospel ending, as it clearly is taught in the Bible, all these things are false. Because look, at this generation has come and gone. Jesus is probably not talking about that generation that was alive in his day. He's talking about the generation that will be there to see some of the signs and wonders and see some of the changes coming in the world that he talks about in Matthew 24. The people who are alive during that time period, during that generation, are going to see these things. And it's going to happen. It will take place. We can be certain of that. People say, well, how can I be certain of that? Well, the Bible gives us a prophetic word, and this chapter 24 of Matthew is a prophetic word. It's telling us about prophecy that is going to be fulfilled. It's interesting, though, sometimes people think that their own personal experiences and their own personal feelings inside are more important than what the Bible actually says. That's a fallacy that people should not do. For example, in 2 Peter chapter 1, Peter tells us an interesting thing. Now, Peter, of course, was one of the apostles. He had many very important experiences with Jesus. But he says that there's something that is more important even than our experiences or our own feelings, our own emotions. This is what he says. For this is a gracious thing. When mindful of God, one endures sorrows while suffering unjustly. It's a great warning. Actually, we want to backtrack just here to one chapter back. That was a good warning too, but this one is also important. He tells us in the first chapter there of 2 Peter, these words. He says that prophecy is not something that comes by human experience. It's not something that people can just work out in their own minds. He says that it's something that must come in line with the Word of God. He says, we did not follow cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. We were eyewitnesses of His majesty. You say, well, that's pretty amazing. They were experiencing actually the presence of Christ right there in their own life. But notice what Peter says. And we have something more sure, the prophetic word to which you will do well to pay attention, as to a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star arises in your hearts. And he goes on and tells us that more powerful than even an experience like Peter had, an experience of being right there as one of the 12 and traveling with Jesus and having all these experiences, he says, we have a more sure word. And what is that more sure word? It's the word of God itself. I was very appreciative of what John MacArthur in his Bible study put in there, in the MacArthur Study Bible, the ESV translation. He says, we have a more sure word, a prophetic word. The arrangement of the sentence here supports the interpretation that Peter is ranking Scripture over experience, more authoritative than the experience of anyone. I remember when we were at Calvin Seminary some years ago that one of the things we had to do is we had to study 2 Peter chapter 1 and these verses that I was just reading from a moment ago. And it's interesting that some people say that we have the word, but we have something that's more assuring for us, and that is personal experiences that we've had. Actually, if you interpret this thing properly, and I think MacArthur does that, he's saying, no, that's a wrong interpretation. That's a wrong understanding of the passage. The passage is telling us here that the prophetic word, the word of God that we have in our possession, the Bible, is more powerful than any experience that people have had. Remember this sometimes when Christians come along, they say, well, I've had an experience. You know, I believe that Jesus talked to me, or I believe that I had this, or I had that. Whatever that may be, make sure that it lines up with the Word of God, because the Word of God is more powerful than any human experience that we've ever had. And that's a very important thing to remember here. I think we had to interpret what that meant, and we had different viewpoints that were represented in our class at that time years ago, but I think the correct one is right here. the Word of God is a more sure testimony to us, something that we can totally depend on. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the Word of the Lord abides forever. And this is the Word that was given to us. Well, back in Matthew 24 here, Jesus gives one last warning. He's told us a number of things here. He's told us not to be deceived and not to be discouraged and not to be defeated and not to be doubtful, but to follow in the Word, now no matter what people say. But also, do not be distracted. It's easy to become distracted. You know, sometimes you're at a meeting and somebody gets up and maybe has to take a bathroom break or whatever like that. But have you ever noticed that what happens sometimes that takes place? And what do people do? Somebody gets up out of their seats. They're watching. It's easy to get distracted from things. But those are just little incidental things. But some people are getting distracted in something far more serious. We're getting distracted in spiritual things. They think they are following Christ, and yet as time goes on, what happens? They become more and more interested in the things of this world. They want to know more about, you know, a better home. They want to get a better car. They want to have a better financial standing. They want to have a better this and a better that. None of these things are wrong per se, but when they become distracting, when they become the focus of our attention, then there's something wrong. When we're putting all this stuff in front of serving the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the warning here is that we not be distracted. Jesus said we are to watch, to keep our eyes open, be on the alert. Why? Because there's so many things out there that can distract us away from the things of the Lord. When your heart is not thinking about His coming, then it's very easy to get distracted into other things and forget about your need to be a witness for Him in the world as well. But all service that we render to Him is going to be eventually evaluated by Jesus when He comes, and all faithful servants of His are going to be appointed to their placement in the kingdom based on what? What they've done with the things that He has given them. They've given them salvation. He's given them His Word. He's given them an opportunity to share the gospel. And if people take all these things as, oh, well, whatever, He's telling us there that that's what we need to be on the watch for. Be on the alert. Make sure that you're giving the things of Christ the importance that they deserve. Make the main thing the main thing. And that's what we so often forget. We don't make the main thing the main thing. We found everything else is the main thing, and it's not. In closing today, I want to just point out something that one of my old professors commented about. His name was David Turner, and he's written a very scholarly commentary on the book of Matthew. But in regard to this Matthew 24, he makes this statement. He says, during times of relative peace and prosperity, it's difficult to take Jesus' words to heart. Occupation with everyday life and its pleasures may lead one to forget that it will all end abruptly. But Jesus' disciples cannot be so comfortable with the status quo that they forget that it will certainly take place, even speedily, before long the reign of heaven will come to earth. And that's a good reminder. We get involved in so many things, and they're important. We have to do them. We are involved in our work. We're involved even in recreation. Not a bad thing. But when you start putting all that stuff ahead of Christ and we become so occupied with those things, we're not watching, we're not alert, we're not ready for His return. And that, of course, is not right. We want to be ready. The day is going to take place when Jesus will come again. I don't make predictions about that. Nobody should. But there's always somebody who comes along and tries to predict, well, you know, and on such and such a date or whatever. I still remember back a few years ago that somebody came out with a little booklet that said that in the month of October of that year, Christ was going to return. Well, guess what? He didn't return on that day. The book was false. About 2 months later, the man came out with the same thing. Now a new prediction. He had been wrong on the first prediction, but now he got it right. We were supposed to believe the second one. And you'd be surprised with some of that. People could even be deceived by something like that. People called me up sometimes, people who were pretty respected religious teachers, and they say, "What do you think? Do you think he's coming? And, you know, in that date in October, just like this guy says?" I says, "No, I don't think so." He said, "Well, don't you believe he's coming?" "Well, sure, I believe he's coming." "Well, don't you think that maybe this guy's right?" I said, "No, I don't think so, because the Bible says that no man knows the day or the hour." Nobody is going to be sure. Nobody's going to be so sure they can write a book about it and tell the whole world this is it. But what we do need to know is how to be living in light of the return of Jesus Christ. Not being defeated or becoming doubtful or becoming discouraged or distracted or any of these things that Jesus warns us about. They must have been a certain serious thing about this warning, or he would never have given it to us. You know, sometimes we are in the store, we pick up certain products, and on the products there's a warning label. It says, you know, keep away from children, or dangerous if you use it in a certain way. There's warning labels there. We say, well, those are important. I guess we need to follow those. But what about the warnings that Jesus gave? Aren't those every bit as important as the fact that we find on warning labels? I think it's far more important to know that Jesus has warned us that there are going to be many things that will deceive us and discourage us and cause us to be distracted and take our eyes off of him. But we need to be ready so that when he comes, whether it be speedily, like Dave Turner says, it may happen, or whether it's not, he allows for different interpretations. Whatever it is, we are found to be ready. There's two things that Jesus Christ wants for us. He wants us to be ready when he comes. He wants us to be obeying him when he comes, living for him. And that's the important thing that Jesus is describing here for us today. Let's close with prayer today. Our Father in heaven, we come to you now and we ask, Lord, that you will make us ready, that you will keep our eyes clearly focused on you, and that we will not lose our perspective, but that we will keep remembering that you are coming again and that we are ready to meet you when you come. Lord, may we be those that are joyfully awaiting for the return of Jesus Christ. But Lord, whether it comes in our lifetime or it doesn't, we want to be ready because we know that he is coming again. One day the heavens will unfold and we know that Jesus will come back to this earth and that he will rule and that he will reign and all of these things that your word so clearly predicts. Lord, help us for that day to be found faithful and to be found ready and obedient at that time. This is not just an option. This is something that is a requirement for our Christian life. Lord, help us to do it. We pray it now in Jesus' name. Amen.